Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Hadith number 202. One of the brothers, yes, brother.
Narrated Abu Sa'id, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade the fasting of 2 days, Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr, 2 feast days, and also wearing as-samma, a single garment covering the whole body like a mummy, and sitting and pulling both legs to your body while being wrapped in one garment, and to pray after Fajr and Asr prayers.
This hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him, he stated that the Prophet ﷺ forbade us from 2 days of fasting, 2 types of wearing clothes and sitting, and 2 types of prayers. So 2 fastings, 2 forms of wearing the garments and sitting, and 2 forms of prayers. As for the fasting, you know that it is the same as Hadith Umar, the day of Fitr and the day of Nahr. Is it the day of Nahr or day of Adha? It is the same. Nahr meaning slaughtering. And Eid is called Eid al-Adha. So it's the same day. As in, for example, Tawaf, as we will come to know, if you say Tawaf al-Ziyara, Tawaf al-Ifada, Tawaf al-Hajj, they're the same Tawaf. It has 3 different names, but it's the same thing. Now, the 2 days of fasting, we know that wearing the garment, one is called ishtimalu samma. As-samma is when you have a long piece of cloth that is not sufficient for you to have into 2. So what they do is they wrap themselves the undergarment, and then they go on and wrap the upper body. So one would be like a mummy. And this is not very comfortable in movement, and also may result in exposing your awrah if the whole thing falls, because it's not tightly wrapped. And also it would not be easy for you to be mobilized and to move your hands because you are wrapped in it. So the Prophet forbade from wearing such a thing. And scholars say that it's not forbidden, it is highly not recommended. Unless it would result in exposing your awrah, then it would become forbidden. The second one is, the Prophet ﷺ described it as al-ihtiba. You know what al-ihtiba is? Al-ihtiba, when you sit waiting for the Friday, or when the Imam is giving khutbah, and you're cross-legged, and then your back is tired, what to do? You see a lot of the people raising their knees, their feet are on the ground, so they're sitting like this and their knees are here, and then they surround their knees like this. This is called ishtimal or al-ihtiba. Now the Prophet says, if you're wearing one garment, and that is the lower garment, the chances of your awrah, of your private parts being exposed is very great. Because if you raise your legs like this, usually people in front can see something, because usually if it's a one dress, it's not gonna be so long and covering and tight. So the Prophet says, if you're wearing one garment, this is not recommended for you to do, if not forbidden. But if you're wearing a shirwal, if you're wearing a trousers underneath, can you do this? Yes, no problem, because your awrah is protected and covered. And from this we see that Islam highlights greatly the issue of awrah, and you have to take care of it. Now, so many times I finish prayer and I leave the masjid, and while leaving, people are still completing their prayer. You see them when they're prostrating, you see their backsides. And they're praying, not knowing that their prayer would be nullified by such exposure if it is for too long or too big area. Islam protects your private parts and your awrah and your body so that no one would be able to look at it. Unfortunately, the Muslims today, they find it fun and means of entertainment to go out wearing shorts or exposing their bodies. Women find it entertaining to wear tights or see-through or something that is not so protecting their chastity. And this is all from Shaitan, who took the pledge that he will expose them. And will, as he exposed the awrah of our great grandfather and mother, Adam and Eve, and they were descended from Jannah because of that, he is working on doing that here in so-called civilized countries. What is the most prominent thing there? Nudity. And if you look at the films and the media, if you look at the news, you will find women, you know, news anchors, wearing mini jeeps and mini skirts, huh? And the men are covered entirely with the tie, with everything. But the women are so exposed. And they would consider that this to be the fashion. This is exactly what Shaitan does. Take off your clothes and let's have it freebie. Islam tells you, no, cover your body, cover yourself, protect your chastity. The only one who can look at your body is your spouse, no one else. And this shows you what civilization they are bragging about is truly about. And the two prayers that we are not allowed to pray, of course, after Asr and after Fajr. Moving on to Hadith 203. Yes, Faisal.
Narrated Abu Sa'id, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, indeed, anyone who fasts for one day for Allah's pleasure, Allah will keep his face away from the hellfire for a distance covered by a journey of 70 years.
Now, this hadith highlights the importance of fasting during jihad, during fighting for the cause of Allah. And scholars differed in regard to this hadith. Some of them said, no, to fast a day in the cause of Allah, meaning for the sake of Allah. So if I fast while I'm in my house for the sake of Allah, then this is for the cause of Allah. And scholars said, no, this is not true, because whenever the Arabic word is fi sabilillah, whenever the word fi sabilillah is mentioned, this is strictly for jihad. Likewise, those who are fighting for the cause of Allah, usually they will be preoccupied in guarding, in building their camps, in taking care of preparation for the enemy. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them great deal of reward for their fasting of that day. What is the reward? Allah will depart. Allah will keep their faces away from hell, the distance of a 70 years journey. How far is 70 years journey? If you travel from here to America, for example, and it takes you 15 hours flying, this is 70 years. So you can imagine the distance of fasting one single day. And this shows you that fasting is one of the greatest deeds that a person could offer, because it is a sign of sincerity. When you pray, people watch you pray. When you give zakat, people benefit from the money. But when you fast, no one can know that you are fasting. And that is why fasting is a sign of sincerity that Allah Azza wa Jal loves. Do we have any questions? Yes, brother.
Sheikh, my question is regarding the oaths. I'm asking about the expiation for the oath. Sheikh, I wanted to ask that if a person, he smokes and he realizes that smoking is haram in Islam, and the next day he says that, by Allah, I will not smoke from tomorrow. And as we know that smoking is an addiction, so he might smoke. So is there any leniency regarding this person, or he has to
do the complete kafara? Because if he complies with his oath, with his yameen, Allah would reward him twice, because this is a repentance and this is fulfilling his yameen. But if he breaks it, Allah will punish him twice, because he's going back to a sin, and at the same time he broke his yameen, but the sin of breaking his yameen would be expiated by the kafara. Yes, brother.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
Salaam Allah.
Shaykh, is there any expiation for voluntary fast? Suppose I fast on Tuesday, Monday, Wednesday, just to please Allah, but I'm offered with food. Then I break my fast. Is that allowed?
As long as you did not take an oath, if you are fasting, voluntary fasting, scholars say that you are your own Amir. What is the meaning of your own Amir? Meaning I am the master of myself. I can break my fasting anytime, as long as it's voluntary. So if I'm fasting Mondays, this is voluntary. Nobody obliged me to do it. Or I go and visit a friend and he puts this food in front of me that is so delicious. I said, tell you what, we have a lot of Mondays coming. And I break my fast and I eat. I am not sinful at all. At all I'm not sinful, because this is voluntary and Allah would not punish me for that. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.